We were going through one of the we were going through one of the Sunday school lessons a while back, and something just kind of really stuck out to me, and it had to do with leprosy. I guess it was the lesson where it was talking about Naaman the Syrian, and there was a description in there of what leprosy was like, and it's severe disease, resulting essentially in death over time, but flesh-eating, I think he had in there that it destroys the nerves and the sensitivity, and I guess a person's ability to feel pain. Very contagious. And I was thinking about it, and you know, in our world today, and how people get with regards to maybe COVID, they're like, you know, COVID, stay away from me, right? Well, leprosy was like that. If you had leprosy, they wanted you to stay away. They wanted you to go somewhere separate from everyone else and live there away from everyone else because it was highly contagious. And nobody wanted it, and there was no known cure that I ever found for it. We were talking this morning about the leopard changing his spots, or the lion deciding that he's going to be a lamb. Well, a leopard couldn't just decide that he wasn't going to be a leopard anymore. You know, somebody who had leprosy was not able to just say, you know what, I don't want leprosy, I don't like it, it doesn't appeal to me, I think I'll just not have it no more. It didn't work that way. Leprosy didn't have a cure. You couldn't you couldn't go to somebody and give them enough money to heal you of your leprosy. And that was what that one specific account in the scriptures was talking about. And I guess we might as well go ahead and speak a little bit to that. If you're not familiar with it, it's in 2 Kings, I believe, chapter 5. But there was a man named Naaman, a Syrian, and he had leprosy. And I don't know how long he had it or what the condition was essentially, but there was a young maid there from Israel that was a captive, and she had pity on him and thought to herself, if only he could get to the prophet in Israel, he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman, when he heard that, I mean, he was like, wow, I can be healed of this leprosy? And so immediately he went about to figure out how to do it, you know, how to get over there. And he has his master send him over there, and they send him over to the king of Israel. I've sent my servant for you to heal him of his leprosy. And the king of Israel says, he rent his clothes and says, surely you can see he's picking a fight with me. Who can heal leprosy? And the prophet Elisha says, send him to me. And so he goes to Elisha, and Elisha tells him how to go about it. But Naaman brought, I mean, sacks of money. He brought changes, multiple sets of changes of clothing that was valuable in those days. They didn't have a closet full of clothes like we have, you know. He brought everything that he could bring and was willing to pay whatever he could pay just to get rid of that leprosy. But you know, it can't be done that way. And the prophet told him how to get healed, and he was healed. And he wanted to give whatever he could. Let me pay you. Let me give you some silver. Let me give you some gold. Let me give you some of these clothes. And the prophet said, no, you take it with yourself, take it to yourself, because that is not how to get it done. Well, we find out later that his servant decided that wasn't really good. And he wanted some of that gold for himself. And so he went and talked to Naaman and got paid. What happened to him? Think about this story. Naaman goes away. They finally accept some payment from him. And he goes on his way, and he's healed of leprosy. And that servant comes back having lied to his master and having gone about to gather gain into himself for something that God had done. It was a miracle of God that healed Naaman. And it says that when Elisha called him out on it, I think it's in 26 of chapter 5, he says, And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? So is it a time for us to accumulate wealth on God's grace and on God's mercy and on God's healing power? He says, the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto you and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You know, I think of that account, and I think of the judgment that is put down on Gehazi. The judgment placed on him as a result of what he had done, leprosy, an incurable disease, the disease that Naaman had. He said, it's going to go from Naaman, it's going to go to you. I look at that as like a picture of his character and his doings being a leprosy in his life. And so for me, I look at the scriptures and referring to leprosy and such, I parallel it to sin. Sin in the heart. This man's sin in his heart, God allowed it to be projected openly in a leprosy in his life. I don't know that it says that he was never going to be healed of that. In fact, it was going to be passed on to his children after him. And sin will do the same thing. You allow sin to overtake your life, and you think that it's not going to affect your children, it will. It's going to be passed down and passed down from generation to generation until something happens, until a cure can come in place. Now, I've already said leprosy doesn't have a cure, but that's not technically true because there was a cure. Naaman got cured, right? He got healed. The only cure for leprosy is God. And the only cure for your sin is God. So let's go to, I've already spoke about it, in that if you had leprosy, you were supposed to dwell without the camp, because leprosy was a danger to the camp. If you had leprosy dwelling all among us, you know, one person has it, the next person gets it, now you got two people to get it. How many people can they infect? How many people can five people affect, right? And so God and me, I look at it as he's teaching us something. He's showing us that sin ought not to dwell in the camp. It will affect us. It will pass down one to another. We don't want to allow sin to dwell in our camp. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12 and 9. So this is a situation where Miriam and Aaron were basically arguing with Moses, saying, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're so great? You know, God uses us too. You know, and they were having a little bit of a argument with Moses, and God steps in and says, what are you thinking? that you're going to come and talk to my servant Moses like this. And Moses was a meek man. It says that he was the meekest man. And so God rose up and said, look, I talked to Moses face to face. Don't get yourselves puffed up here. Okay? And so in this scenario, in verse 9, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. So again, we see leprosy being used in as a punishment, if you will, or I tend to view it a little bit more like an exhibition of what was taking place in their hearts. She was being proud, or she was being boastful, or she was being whatever it was, and God allowed that to be represented through leprosy. And Moses prayed for her. Thank you. Moses prayed for her and Aaron both and asked God to have mercy on him. He says, Lord, she's leprous. She's going to die like this. And the Lord says, well, let her at least be ashamed for 7 days. And she's going to dwell without the camp for 7 days. And so they did, and they waited for her to be healed, and then they went again. So again, we have leprosy being used in a way to show a sinful corruption in the heart. And the reason why I'm trying to bring this out is because I didn't really find a clear place in the scriptures where it said leprosy is sin. But to me, it's pretty overwhelming in the way that leprosy is depicted in the scriptures, how one was to be declared clean and pure after having been healed of leprosy. They had to give a sin offering. There was a lot of things that took place in the scriptures with regards to leprosy that paints a picture in a relationship of it with sin. One more real quick in 2 Kings chapter 5. Well, I know. I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles 26. We already did the 2 Kings. 2 Chronicles 26 and 19. So this is a story of Uzziah. Let's go up to 16. Uzziah was the king of Israel, and in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So Uzziah was a king, and he went about to go into the temple of God to burn incense, which was for the priests to do. And Azariah, verse 17, the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. So he got upset because he felt like he had the right basically to do whatever he wanted to do, I guess. And in his wrath, it says, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. So here again we have Uzziah going in and doing what is not to be done. And they declared it to him that this is a trespass. Don't do it. Don't come in here and burn incense unto God. It's not going to be an honor to you. And he went ahead and did it anyway and got wroth with the priest, and the leprosy came out in him. And so for me, leprosy is sin in our lives. We were talking about the sin, the carnal nature, if you will, the animals, the wolf and the leopard and the lion, the bear, snake, the serpent, predators that are, it's their nature to prey on others or to attack or to fight or to, there's a lot of carnality if you were to look into that that has to be addressed. And for us, it is the same thing. You ask yourself, can they change themselves? Can they decide that they're not going to be predators anymore? And we declared that they couldn't, you know. And we can look at our own lives and say, well, what can I do about it, you know? If we declare that sin is a leprosy, and we know that we have sin in our hearts, or we know that we have pride or arrogance or bitterness or corruption, or we're not kind, we're not generous, we're not merciful, we're not gentle, and we look in it in our hearts and in our lives, and it's like we're saying we have a leprosy. I have a disease of sin that I don't know how to cure. I can't pay enough money. I can't find a doctor that's going to get it off of me. I think of the scriptures where Jesus had the man come down through the ceiling and he was obviously paralyzed, and he said, your sins be forgiven you. And everybody was looking on at, what is he talking about? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus says, so you know that I can forgive sins. He says, what is more difficult to do? To say your sins be forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk? And he says, so that you'll know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, he told the man, rise up and walk. And he did. He got up and walked. And so the Lord is telling us that there is a cure. There is a cure to the sin in your heart and in your life. If you feel like your carnal nature, if you will, I've been around many a people that talked about, oh, well, it's just the flesh. It's just my carnal nature. It's just the way I am, you know. It doesn't have to stop like that. There's a cure to this disease. You can be delivered. It's not a fantasy. It's not something that, you know, that is fictitious thought. It's not some whimsical dream, but you can be free. You can be delivered by the power of God. You know, I was thinking back of Naaman again. He had a disease and he knew it. He knew that he had leprosy and he knew that he couldn't do anything about it. I'm sure he tried every method he could probably try to get rid of it. He was willing to pay a fortune to be free of it. And I don't know about you all, but I know for me and myself that I had a point in my life where I was willing to just give anything I could give to be free, to be able to be delivered, to be able to get that off of me, that disease of sin that was corrupting my life, that was destroying me, destroying the lives of those in my grasp, if you will. People, I was affecting people because of my sin. Gravely affecting people. Some people got gravely affected by my sin and the corruption of the man that I was. And I needed to be set apart. I needed to be set apart. And I was. But by the grace of God, I was delivered and freed and restored and made clean. And I think of Naaman and how he, by the power of God, was delivered and freed and made clean. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. And this is kind of what I feel in my own personal experience, and I think maybe Naaman felt this as well. We have this chapter where Paul is talking about what I wish I could do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. And I look back on my life, and I got to a point where that's what it was. That was a reality. I wanted to do right. I wanted to change. I didn't want to be a wolf anymore. I didn't want to be a lion or a bear. I wanted to be a child of God. And I didn't know how to do that. And I imagine Paul being in that predicament as well. And Naaman was in that predicament. He was a leper and he didn't want to be a leper anymore. And in verse 24, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, I can say that I was there. Who shall deliver me, Lord? Who can help me? Who can enable me to stop doing the things that I'm doing, to stop thinking the things I'm thinking, being who I am? Who can change me? Who can convert me and make me different and make me new? It seems like a lost cause to many people. And many people have basically checked it off as a lost cause. They don't believe in full deliverance and full freedom. Who shall deliver me? Who shall free me from this life of corruption? I don't want to live this life anymore. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can be free and we can be made clean. If there's anything in your heart or in your life that you feel like is a mountain that's insurmountable, that can't be taken care of, there's no way, there's no possible way that I can be free to this, there's no possible way that I can be victorious in this, it's just the way it is. I've tried many of things, I've done many of things to try to get rid of it, and it's still here, it's still plaguing me, that leprosy is still plaguing me. Who shall deliver me? Who shall free me from this body of death? I'm going to tell you, it's Jesus Christ is going to deliver you. He's going to free you of it. But you got to believe in Him. You got to trust in Him. You got to submit yourself into His hands. You got to give your life to Him and allow Him to touch you that way. Allow Him to work in your heart, and He will do a work. He showed it over and over in the Scriptures. And in order for us to really get a grasp of it, who can forgive sins, they said. Who can forgive sins? Well, let me show you. Rise up and walk. And you can have faith in the power that I have. The power that says that you can be forgiven of your sins. Faith to know that God has power to work in your life. And He can work. He can free you. He can deliver you from that body of death. Let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8 and 2. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." This man had a faith already before he got to Jesus. And he said, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." So let me ask you, does He will it? Does God will for you to be delivered from that thing? Does God will for you to be free of it, to have victory in your life? Or does He want you to continue on in corruption? Does He want you to continue on in whatever that carnal behavior that's in your heart is? Or does He want you to be clean? This man says, "I know that if You will it, You can make me clean." Do we have that faith today? Do we have the faith that knows that all I need to know, Lord, is if you will it? Because there's nothing impossible to you. You can do anything you want to do. You just have to want to do it. And I know that you're that powerful. I know you have the ability to do it. And all I'm asking you, if you will. Well, I'll tell you, you can read throughout the scriptures multiple places where he declares his will. But here we go in verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Praise God. The demonstration of his power to cleanse leprosy is a demonstration of his power to cleanse sin and to purify us and to make us clean. And I want to, let's go to Matthew 11. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So John was in prison. He was the one who declared Jesus to his disciples. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he's in prison and he needs some reassurance, or he needs some comfort maybe. And he sends his disciples to ask Jesus if he is the one that is to come, or do they look for another? And this is Jesus' response. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do and hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The blind eyes receive their sight. I guarantee you there wasn't nobody around back then healing blindness. Okay, and I don't know that they do it now. But anyway, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to him. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So this is his answer. You ask, am I the one? Well, let me tell you what's going on. The blind can see now. The lame can walk. The lepers are being cleansed. That's good news. The lepers are being cleansed. You know, I look at that and I think nobody really wants to think of themselves as a leper. Or nobody wants to think of themselves in a corrupted state. But you know that you need to be free. If you really want to be free and you really want to be cleansed and delivered, you got to know that you need to be. You got to know that you have a disease that needs a cure. So that you can go to Jesus, who is the one who can cleanse you and purify you and make you free of that disease. He's able and he's willing. I thank God for that news. Because there was a time in my life where I needed to hear it. And it's not just words in my ears hearing it, but I needed to be that man that says, I know that you're able, but will you? I knew God was able to. I just didn't know how he could. I didn't have the vision in my mind of how he could deliver me from the things that had plagued me all my life. But you know, I didn't have to know how he was going to do it. I didn't have to know the recipe. You know, the man that was cleansed with leprosy, he didn't have to know exactly how Jesus did it. Jesus said, "Be thou clean." And he was clean. And he went away knowing that he had been freed and delivered. Now let me ask you this. If we had an environment where, say, there was five lepers in our midst, would it concern anyone? And I'm not bringing this out to say that we ought to ostracize people that have sin in their lives. That's not what I'm saying, because they could come here and get a cure. But what I'm trying to say is that how careful would you be? I think about Naaman and leaving that situation where he's been cleansed of leprosy, he's been made free, he's been delivered, he's got victory in his life, and he goes away from that place. And do you think that he was cautious at all when he came up upon another person with leprosy or another opportunity that could possibly reinfect him? Do you think he was ever cautious about that? And I was thinking about that in my own life and being freed and delivered and cured, if you will, from the disease of sin. Am I concerned at all about being reinfected? Am I concerned at all about sin re-entering or becoming a plague once again in my life? What precautions would I put in place in my life to keep from being contaminated once again? I mean, it's a thought. You know, we a lot of times people wonder, you know, well, why would you have to do that? Or why would you need to do that? That's not necessary. May the Lord help us to be cautious about what we allow in our camp or in our sphere of influence, if you will. What we allow to get close to us. Because I don't want to be reinfected. I don't want that disease again. I don't want to be plagued like that. I don't want to be bound again. But I want to stay free. I thank God for victory, and I thank God for the deliverance that he's given me, and I don't want to give it up. And I don't think Naaman wanted to give his cleanliness away either. And I pray that the Lord would help me to be cautious about what I allow in my immediate vicinity, if you will. Because I don't want to be drawn back. I don't want to go back to that life anymore. I thank God for my newfound freedom, and I plan to live in it and walk in it, and I want my children to walk in it and live in it. And I don't want anything that I do or anything that I expose them to affect them in any way that would hinder them from finding the freedom that I have in Christ. Thank God for cleansing. And I thank God that the lepers are cleansed. When I imagine him saying that, "Behold, the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed." It's good news, right? I can imagine them celebrating. Thank God the lame can walk, the blind can see, we can be freed, we can be delivered. You think there was a reason why there was multitudes of people following Jesus? He healed all their sick, healed them of their diseases. He will do the same for you. If you have a need in your heart and in your life, and you feel like you have something that's plaguing you, that you have tried everything you can imagine to try to get rid of that thing, to be free of that thing, my suggestion to you is to give it to Christ. Come to Him and say, Lord, I know if You will, You can make me clean. And I'm telling you right now, you come to Him with your heart open and with a heart of humility and surrender to God, that He's going to say, I will. Be thou clean. I appreciate everyone's time and attention this morning. Pray for me. I want to be free.